Ah, está a ver. Muito bom. Good morning. I'm talking Portuguese. Thank you so much for attending this this meeting. We should be in a presidential meeting in Kigali, but dear colleagues and friends, this pandemic situation didn't allow us to do it, and so we decide to keep our meeting because it's essential to prepare the governing council of the next week and also to elect the chairperson of the 12 plus. And we decided to keep our meeting in a virtual way. Thank you so much for attending. The weather here in Lisbon is wonderful. I hope to find you all in good health in this moment. And if we go to the point two of agenda, this is adoption of the agenda. I ask the floor if we may consider adopted the agenda that was sent to you with two amendments during last week. No one asks the floor, so we consider adopted the agenda. We go to the point B, adoption of the minutes of the group's meetings held in Belgrade on 12, 14, 15, and 17 of October 2019. The minutes were sent to all of you on time, and we received just, may I say, objections from the Turkish delegation. May I say that, of course, we don't, in our agenda, our meeting, during our meetings, we don't have, for instance, we don't record it. We didn't record the meetings on video or something similar, and so special the presidential ones, and so our secretariat will take some notes, and after it we'll try to put what happened during the meeting with independence, and try to report exactly what happened during the meeting. But sometimes we can have mistakes. It may happen to all of us. And the Turkish delegation said that there are some objections, and I will say what objections they propose. First of all, on the meeting of October 12, we have one amendment to the to the 12 plus rules, but there is no specific item on the agenda. What we have in our agenda is amendments to the IPU statutes and rules, not amendments to the IPU statutes and rules. So, in the end of the meeting, our colleague from Turkey said to me that we shouldn't consider approved this point, and I think she is right, because it was not the input of the amendment, but because we didn't clarify one point in our agenda that we will try to change our statutes the status of the 12+. And so this objection, I think, that should be taken on. But other objections, okay, that they can be recorded with our minutes, but I think that it's not possible to do something more. Why? Our colleague, our senders, that they don't agree with the minutes of Doha Assembly during the 12, what happened in April 5, the 5th of April 2019 in Doha. But we discussed this minute in Belgrade on 12, and they were approved without objections. And so is of time this objection of Turkish delegation. Our colleagues should present the objection to the minutes of Doha's meeting when we are discussing the minute and approved meeting, not 1 year after it. Okay, we'll take good note, but that's all we can do. And also our colleagues said that about the steering committee that happened on the 23 September of 2019, the minutes, they don't agree with the minutes on the, but it is the steering committee. And so in a steering committee, we approved the minutes of the steering committees, now in the plenary of the group. And so I think that we'll, we take good note, but this is about a minute of the steering committee and we'll not discuss it now. About the minutes of the meetings in Belgrade, 12, 14, 15, or 17 of October, I ask the floor if someone has asked the floor to make an objection on that. Just our colleague from UK, Harriet Baldwin. Please, you have the floor. Thank you so much for joining us.
Chair, and I just want to ask a minor question, which is that obviously I was not at the meeting in Belgrade, and I'm not commenting specifically on the contents of the minutes per se, but just wanted to seek your opinion on what is best practice in terms of circulating a record and minutes in order to make sure that the events are still fresh in everyone's mind.
Thank you, dear colleagues. Usually, some days before our meeting, and it happened the same year, a week ago or something similar, they will send to all of you. And so we will accept now or before the meeting. Sometimes happens that when someone receives a minute, send us an objection or ask for change, something. And of course, if it's true that the consideration of a delegate was not perfect, we will try to change the minutes before the meeting. It didn't happen during last week. our colleague Baldwin. Hafsa again. Hafsa, sorry. Thank you for joining us. Hi.
Hello. Are you able to see me?
Oh, yes.
Now I can see you. How are you? I wanted to wish a very good day to everybody, to all our members. I want to thank you for taking our demands into consideration. One thing I wanted to clarify: you agreed that there was a problem during the meeting on the 12th of October that the change in the rules of procedure of 12 plus group wasn't on the agenda. So what happens now? Are we going to retract that change? Is that the case? So it's no longer valid. I just wanted to clarify that. And just a quick explanation. I understand that the previous minutes from the meetings in Doha from the previous assembly weren't relevant. But at that time, immediately at the beginning of the meeting, we didn't have a chance to go through all of them. By that time, it was approved. So I just wanted to explain that, and I wanted to thank you for giving me the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. As I tried to explain, the objection about what happened on that meeting, October 12th, is correct. There is no item in our agenda to change the status of the 12 plus. And so the objection is accepted, and there is the amendment that we approved. There is no way to put in practice now. Maybe in the future, if someone of the steering committee wish to take it again, we need to put it in our agenda so everyone will know what will be the issues we will discuss and vote. It didn't happen with this, so it's out of order. Thank you so much. Thank you. No one asks the floor. May we consider adopted the minutes of the meetings in Belgrade? Thank you so much. We will go to the point 4. Quando outra pessoa estiver a falar, talvez alguém vá aqui de trás e ponha a bandeira melhor, não é? Groups report on the meeting of the Group Steering Committee held in Lisbon. Just to a small report on that. We had our steering committee. May I say we have two steering committees. This one and a special one a few minutes before the beginning of our meeting. On the steering committee, so it is not a minute. The minutes will be approved on the next steering committee. Now what I am just to inform you, the group was, it is about the decisions, may I say, of the steering committee. So, the steering committee approved to go on with this virtual meeting and the special rules of procedure for the election of the chairperson of the 12 plus. And the steering committee accepts the proposal of our colleague from Turkey and our colleague from France to postpone the meetings that are preparing for this year, because with the pandemic it was impossible to have both meet. And so the steering committee proposed to organize it next year. We hope to be in conditions to organize these seminars about migration and about SDGs. The steering committee decides as well to organize a meeting on the 6th of October to decide about the candidate to the presidency of IPU. We did it already. And finally, our colleague from France, La Ferrière, he talk about the working group on science that is a proposal from France that was approved in Belgrade and it didn't happen until now. So this is the main important conclusions of the steering committee held in Lisbon. I don't know if someone of our colleagues that attend that meeting wish to complete my information to all the group. No one? Thank you so much. We may go to the point 5, special rules of procedure for the election of the chairperson of the 12 plus. So, we decide as well, and it was approved without with some discussion and change. For instance, we decide to give more time on vote. In the beginning, it's just 20 minutes. We have a discussion that maybe 20 minutes is not enough, and we change for 40 minutes, we decide to go on with special rules of procedure to regulate the election of the chair of the 12 plus. As you know, our mandate is 2 years mandate, and my mandate is finished during this assembly, may I say, in virtual assembly and virtual governing council, and we should elect a new chairperson. The rules were approved without objections, and also we share this with the three candidates. I ask if someone has something to say about it. No. So, if no, we can go to the point 6. The point 6 is the presentation from the candidates to the office of the chairperson of the 12 plus. So, dear colleagues, we have three candidates. The steering committee, a few minutes ago, before the election, before this meeting, decided prepare the report, as our statutes saying, that shows that the three candidatures were presented by order inside the time they have to do it, and with the sponsors by the national groups from the 12 plus. And we decide, I had a meeting also with the three candidates, and we agree on that. We will have 5 minutes presentation by each candidate right now. Sorry. After it, we'll open the floor. Our colleagues may ask questions, short questions if it's possible, and we'll try to join 2 or 3 and give the floor to the candidates to answer it, and just after we finish this process, we will open the process of election. I think that all of you received the PIN code to vote. I know that there were some delays during the weekend. I think all of them are solved, And so we hope to have everyone available to vote, to have a free and fair election. We ask as well if the candidates wish to have an observer here from their parliament or from their embassy, of course, the observers will be welcome. They didn't send this information, and so all the process will be run by our staff, the staff of the Assembly of the Republic. Thank you so much for the trust you are showing, and we hope to have a fair election, as we try to do always. If we go forward, the first candidate is Mrs. Arda Gerkens from Netherlands. Someone asked the floor? From the Netherlands, she presents on 14th of October the candidature. And please, you need to ask the floor in your Kudo system, and we will give the floor to you. After it, we'll go to the Mr. Andries Giffroy from Belgium, and then in the end, Mrs. Olga Kefalogiani from Greece. Arda, you have the floor. Welcome to our 12 plus meeting.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pacheco. And dear colleagues, and good afternoon, or good morning, or even some of you, good night, because I believe we have some colleagues which is late in the evening. Today is a very exciting day for us because the Netherlands is a candidate for the presidency of the 12 plus the coming 2 years, but it's also the end of the presidency of Portugal. The last 2 years we have worked very closely together, and I would like to start to express my gratitude for the efforts of Mr. Pacheco and his team for taking on the presidency of the 12 plus the last 2 years. Thank you very much for that. When the time came to consider the presidency of the 12 plus, the Dutch delegation gladly presented itself as a candidate. And what you hear now is the ringing of the bell because I'm in parliament and we have a debate at the moment. So sorry for that. We have done so in the conviction that we are able to guide our group in implementing the IPU goals, support parliamentarians in achieving multi-party democracies and enhancing human rights. The last years, the Netherlands has been an active member in the IPU, fully participating in the committees we were elected to. We proposed several emergency items and took part in several side events. As a president, I will offer you structured meetings with plenty of time for preparation, fair debates, and clear outcomes. I will always strive to achieve a common position and reach out before the decision-making to see what is needed to come to that position. The aim of our 12 plus is to operate as a group to strengthen the possibility to achieve IPU goals. I'm the Vice President of the Dutch Senate, have been a Vice President of the House of Representatives, and within the IPU, I am the Vice President of the Committee of Human Rights and Democracy. I have chaired many bodies and in that capacity have been many times appreciated. I'm goal-oriented and have strong feelings for good procedures, but without losing sight of the fact that we are all elected politicians and want to express our solidarity towards each other, bearing in mind the views of our countrymen and women. Both our parliaments fully support the candidacy, which is reflected in the fact that Ms. Femi Bakker will be available to support us as well as the 12 plus in any way you need. Dear members, we live in exciting times. Many possibilities to consider, for example, the digital changes of today. Democratic values are under pressure in all of our countries. What we thought to be basic principles of democracy are being challenged. We might need to remind ourselves sometimes of these basic values and principles. As 12 plus, we can support multi-party democracies within the IPU and thus in the world. Now, more than ever, we can play this important role. If you support this position, then vote for the Netherlands. It would be an honor for me, as well as the Dutch delegation, to lead our group the coming years. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you, Arda. And you, thank you so much. You will just spend 3 minutes. You don't need 5 minutes. Thank you. Your presentation was very clear to everyone. And now we will go to Mr. Andries Griffroy from Belgium. She asked the floor already. And so, Andries, the floor is yours. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pacheco. Dear President, dear colleagues, I'm a member of the Flemish Parliament since May 2014 and Vice Chair of the Belgian Senate. But please allow me also to quickly resume my journey inside the IPU up till now. I have been a member of the Belgian delegation to the IPU since October 2014 and chairperson since May 2019. Meanwhile, I have become very actively involved in the IPU and in the 12+. I have taken on the task of internal auditor twice, and I was rapporteur of the Standing Committee on Sustainable Development also twice. I'm currently member of the Bureau of the Standing Committee on United Nations Affairs since October 2019. Given this experience and my experience in Belgium, I thought I could qualify as a suitable candidate for chairperson of the 12+ group. A month ago, I started to seek support of delegations with whom we have worked together intensively and or with whom we have an excellent understanding. And my question was, why did they support me? Well, I guess it's not because I am the politician that everybody knows because of his big and passionate speeches. I'm rather the man that works a lot behind the scenes in order to deliver. First of all, I want to thank both these countries for their letter of support. I couldn't describe myself better. The Romanian delegation considers me, and I'm quoting their sponsorship letter, as a dedicated member of our group with a deep knowledge and expertise in the functioning and structures of the IPU, and they highly appreciate my significant contribution to the work of our organization in various capacities, as I have successfully represented our group in various IPU bodies and formed strong ties of trust of cooperation with fellow parliamentarians from other geopolitical groups. It is their conviction that, if elected, I will further promote our shared principles and values in the work and decision-making of our organization. My friends from New Zealand stress my passion for multilateral affairs and cooperation because they know my background as an engineer and my passion for technology. They refer to the fact that we are operating in a complex environment, and that it's important that the 12+ continues to be innovative and agile with technology in order to positively influence the decisions and activities of the IPU. I want to thank both these countries for their very nice words, and it would have been a pleasure and an honor to put my knowledge and experience at the disposal of all of you to help you and the 12+ group to achieve its goals, but also the other countries who have supported me. I would like to underscore that we are fortunate to have 3 candidates for the role of chairperson of this group. This says a lot about its vitality. Nevertheless, I fully realize that my country has already chaired this group 3 times over the past 2 decades. We are strongly in favor of rotation, and so we have to practice what we preach. Therefore, I'm happy to withdraw my candidacy, certainly because our Dutch neighbors have an excellent candidate who can offer you the same qualities and the same amount of experience within the IPU. Back in October 2019, when we met physically for the last time in Belgrade, I defended the candidacy of a Belgian socialist colleague for a mandate within the IPU. Now I'm supporting the candidacy of a Dutch socialist colleague. And some people in my party will probably start worrying about my mental health. No, seriously, maybe this is exactly the true charm and value of the IPU and even more of our 12+ group. Whatever our ideology and the solutions that we stand for in our own countries, in this group we defend the core man: human rights, gender equality, Western values of liberal democracy, the rule of law, fundamental freedoms, equal opportunities and transparent solidarity. It goes without saying that our Greek colleague has an impressive curriculum as well. In whatever way this election ends, the 12 plus group will have an excellent female chairperson for the next 2 or maybe 4 years, which is about 15 years ago and something to be very happy about. Thank you to the colleagues who supported me. Good luck to both candidates and all the best to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Andres. Our colleague withdrew his name from the running to the presidency of IPU. I understand that you have a very important role in our group and in our organization. In several meetings, you are always present and working to defend our values. But you accept that the rotation principle between countries should be present also inside the 12 plus. It is something interesting and important. And so you withdraw your name from the list to the candidates. And now we will give the floor to the other colleague, Mrs. Olga Kefalogiani from Greece. Please, you need to ask the floor, and after it we will give the floor to you. Mrs. Kefalogiani. Just a few seconds. Okay. The floor is yours. Welcome to the 12 plus meeting.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Duarte. Thank you for your commitment to our group's goals and to the IPU goals as a whole. I would like to congratulate Arda and Andres for their presentations and sharing their vision for the chair of the 12 plus group. I understand that Andres has withdrawn his candidacy. In this respect, I would like to say that Greece has been a member of the 12 plus group since its formation. And we have only held the chair once back in 1980. So it's been 40 years since Greece has held the chair of the 12 plus group. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Israel and Cyprus for their letters of support. And I would like to address all my colleagues and say that I understand that this video conference is not really helpful in order to present people in a realistic way. We are all elected politicians, and we understand that human interaction is essential in politics. Still, I believe that this is the only way for me to present my candidacy today. And thank you for giving me the time and the opportunity to share some thoughts and also to let you know a little bit about myself and my experience. I've been a member of parliament since 2007. I was first elected when I was 32 years old. I was one of the most young parliamentarians at the time. Thus, I served as secretary of the parliament during my first term. I have successfully completed and been elected in 5 consecutive national elections, all very competitive and challenging. I have served as Minister of Tourism from 2012 till 2015, during times when Greece faced the unprecedented debt crisis, and worked hard to revamp my country's image, and was successful in making tourism one of the most important pillars for economic growth and social inclusion. Under my capacity as Member of Tourism, I officially represented Greece in various countries and fora, And I have valued the opportunity to share cross-border experiences and also best practices on cultural, economic, and effective governance issues. I believe that this experience is valuable for our group in terms to increase its visibility and to create leverage and, of course, attract contributions in the future. I was only 37 years old when I was first appointed as minister, and I was the only woman in the ministerial cabinet. I'm saying this because as a young woman in politics, I've put a lot of efforts in tackling gender discrimination and also encouraging women to participate in every aspect of political, economic, and social life. I'm currently the ambassador of the Greek Parliament to the Women Political Leaders, which is a global network of female politicians, which aims to increase both the number and the influence of women in political leadership positions. Because it is only through actively influencing the impact of more women in politics that we can accomplish global equity and welfare. And I strongly believe that by strengthening women's participation and leadership, we can further promote SDGs. I feel very strongly that parliaments, as essential pillars of our democracy, constitute the most legitimate voice in order to strengthen our institutions and to respect principles and promote values such as freedom, democracy, justice, transparency, and the rule of law. My participation as a member of the most prestigious Special Committee on Institutions and Transparency of the Greek Parliament since 2015 is an experience of extreme importance in the field of monitoring and strengthening democratic institutions. It is thus a privilege for me to be a member of the Greek delegation to the ICU since October 2015 and head of the Greek delegation since October 2019. Throughout these years, I've been following the IPU assemblies, the standing committees, as well as the forum of young parliamentarians with great interest and commitment. And as a young parliamentarian myself, I feel we should focus more on the need to encourage young people to participate in decision-making centers. This is the path to build more democratic, inclusive, and prosperous societies. Dear colleagues, these are challenging times. The pandemic, with its severe impact on health, education, and income, may end up being one of the largest crises. Hence, it is my belief that now, more than ever, the continuous pursuit of the universal goals will keep governments focused on both, but also on inclusion, equity, and sustainability against phenomena such as social exclusion, homophobia, sexism, and violence in social and working environments. In this respect, let me assure you that my goal is to constructively assist our group's aims and serve our common values and the interests of all our members in the most positive and effective way. My parliament is backing my candidacy, and of course, we have a very competent and experienced staff and resources to support the chair. So, dear colleagues, I welcome your support and I thank you for your attention.
Thank you so much. I agree with you. Presidential meetings are completely different. Of course, all of us prefer to have this meeting in the presidential meeting. The interaction between us will be completely different. But this is what is possible to do in these times of pandemic. So, at least we know two things, or may I say three. We will have a chairwoman on the 12 plus. This is something important also to have a gender rotation. Second, we will have a rotation between countries, and we will have a new chairperson that will be completely involved with the principles of our group, democracy, the state of law, and the human rights. This is important, and thank you so much for your presentations. And before open the possibility to vote, I will ask if someone wishes to ask questions to our candidates, especially not to our colleague Andrius Grifroi, because he retro, but to our colleague Arda Gerkens or to our colleague Olga Kefalogiani. So I am receiving the inscription. Mrs. Baldwin, may I? Não. Tenho que escrever de outra forma. Ravza Khan, from Turkey, please.
Okay. Oh, man, sagen das kann die gehören, so häufig kann man sie wegen nicht. Was wir können haben.
Hello. I think there was a mix-up in the lineup. That's why. I wanted to congratulate three of our candidates. But I have questions to the two of our candidates, and I'm really excited that the 12 plus group will be chaired by a woman chair, and I'm looking forward to working with the chairwoman of 12 plus group in the future. With increasing xenophobia and Islamophobia and racism all over the world, and unfortunately we see a lot of this concentrating in Europe, US and in other countries as well, it's a global crisis. What does our chairwoman, future chairwoman of the 12 plus group suggest that we can do in the parliament, since the IPU is representation of all world population, almost all of it? That is my question. What do they suggest we do as members of parliaments in relation to increasing racism, xenophobia, and Islamophobia? Thank you.
Now, our colleague from Denmark, Søren Sanderjagt, you have the floor. We'll join at least three questions. Hi, Søren.
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to say thank you very much also to the candidates, because they are putting themselves up for a tough job. And we are very happy that we have two qualified candidates. It is a tough job to be a chairman, no doubt, and a chairperson. And when you are a chairperson, you not only need yourself, but you also need strong backing from your national parliament and from staff people. It takes resources to do this job. Of course, both of the candidates have the backing, as they said, from the parliament. But I would like to hear what thoughts they have made about what kind of resources it will take to do the job. And if it's clear that they have the backing also in terms of resources from the parliament to do that job. But anyway, whoever will win, we are sure that it will be very good in the future, as it has been also with the present president. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Hello to everybody from Slovenia. I also share the words of my previous colleague from Turkey. I very welcome the fact that the future leader of the 12 plus group will be a female president. And I have already a short question for both of the candidates. Years ago, there was already a good practice established that the minutes of the meetings, especially of the steering committee meetings, were available soon after finishing this steering committee meeting session, so that the draft was available to all the delegations, and everybody could therefore prepare for the discussion, even if they were not present at this steering committee. So I have a simple question. Do you consider it would be possible? Do you consider it as an option to reestablish this method of work? Thank you.
Thank you. So we have three questions. This is one group. We'll go to the remain candidates. So first of all, to our colleague Arda Gerkens, you need to ask the floor, and you have 3 minutes to answer these questions.
Duarte, yes, Rafsa, you have asked the question on racism, and which is indeed growing all over the world. I think we have a very polarized world at the moment, and this is reflected also in racism. I must say, I don't think that we are here in our presidency to make political choices. However, the ending of racism is something which is a human principle, a human right in itself. So I think we as a 12 plus group should, within every decision that we take in account if there's an element of racism or how we can beat them, or at least stand for those principles. And of course, if any of the members of the 12 plus group think that this needs to be discussed, we've had discussions before from our initiatives, from our groups, and I'm thinking about the LBTG rights. We can discuss within the group whether we think it is needed to have such an event to discuss these matters. So I think this is what I would support then at that point as a president. Now, Søren, you asked how much support do you actually have to do this task with a lot of work. And I must say, some of you know Miss Femi Bakker is being our staff member, supporting us all the time. And I've asked her when we considered the presidency, what do you think? And she was really excited about it. So she's completely devoted in helping us as an IPU delegation to do this task. But she's not the only one. She has a staff members helping her as well. And I am not the only one. This is not something that I want. This is something that the whole Dutch delegation wants. So we all, as a group, will be able to fulfill this task. And I know I have their support as well. And that coming to the last question, I think transparency is very important, and especially in decision making, should be clear and transparent and swiftly available. And while you ask that question, Monica, I've checked with Femi to see if I promise something now that she can live with, because I mean, I can promise something, but if she thinks it's not possible, then it's something else. But we agree that we can look to the fact that you will have the minutes as soon as possible after the meeting. So this is a promise I can make to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Arda. Our colleague Olga Kefalogiani, please, you have the floor.
Okay. So, Ravza, thank you for your question on xenophobia and Islamophobia. I would like to refer to a very good example, which is the example of Thrace in the northern part of Greece, a region that is in the borders with our neighboring country, Turkey. I would like to mention this because it's a very good paradigm on the harmonious coexistence of citizens coming from different religions and cultural backgrounds. There is a large Muslim minority group that is present for hundreds of years in this part of Greece. And the citizens all participate in a peaceful, democratic, and inclusive way in all aspects of political and social life. And I believe that the Lausanne Treaty and the Chart on Human Rights is our guide to the absolute respect of freedom of religious beliefs. And all of us as parliamentarians, we have adhered as countries to the Chart of Human Rights and are responsible to uphold all the rights, the human rights that are included in this this chart. I have to mention that there has never been an extremist Islamist from this region of Greece, and thus this shows you how inclusion works in the best way to uphold human rights, freedom, democracy, and all the values that we all stand for. Then on the other question, I think I've already mentioned that my candidacy is backed and endorsed by the Greek Parliament. I was actually very happy to hear the Speaker of our Parliament giving me the thumbs up and saying that it's important for the 12 plus group to have a young woman as its president, and that Greece would be more than willing to support the chair. We have a special department for international affairs, and we have a very experienced and very competent staff to assist our job as a chair. Special advisors, political scientists, and legal advisors to help all our works. And of course, I agree that transparency is of vital importance for our 12 plus group. And of course, we need to be able to have the minutes in due time in order for all of us to be prepared and all of us to be able to express our views and our thoughts on the agenda. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I don't have no one asking the floor. No. So, if we don't have no one wishing, asking questions to our candidates, we will open the time to vote. Dear colleagues, our bullet have the three names there, but you need to choose just between the two candidates, the remain candidates, Arda or Olga. So, because our colleague Andrews, he withdrew his name from the list, and it is not possible right now to prepare a new bullet. Please. Don't vote in Andris because it will be not considered as a vote, a valid vote. You need to vote just from to the other candidates, our colleague Arda Gerkens from Netherlands or our colleague Olga Kefalogiani from Greece. We will open. You are available to vote. Our minutes saying that it will be open for 40 minutes. So, just 35 minutes after 2 in European time or after 1 in Lisbon time, we will finish the process. But before that, 10 minutes before, I will say to everyone that the time remain is 10 minutes, and if it's possible, we will try to ask people that didn't that registered and didn't vote to vote before the end of the process. If you have some difficulty, please, our staff is completely available to resend the PIN, try to solve your inscription, and so on. Remember, the user's name is your email in small letters. I know that from last week that there is problems because some colleagues didn't know that and they use caps lock. And so that's why the user's name was not considered valid. So please, the user's name is your email, all in small letter, and the PIN code you received by email or by message on your mobile. So it's open. You may vote now before for 40 minutes. Thank you so much. And now we know we don't need a second round because we just have two candidates. So one of the candidates will have more than 50% of the votes. We don't need to. We will not need a second round. If you have three candidates, we will have to see if one will win more with more than 50% of the votes. And if we don't have, if no one has this qualification majority, we need a second round with the two candidates that have more votes. Two candidates, it's much easier in this process. Thank you so much. Dear colleagues, in meanwhile, we can go to the point 8, and when we have the results, we came back to present the results of the election. This is the financial matter. It's very easy. It was also approved in our steering committee of last year in Lisbon in September. This is a financial report. I hope everyone received the financial report of 2019. We are discussing the report of 2019 because we didn't have the meeting in March as usual. We should in March to approve the financial report of the financial year before that. But it didn't have the meeting because everything was cancelled. And so just now we have the financial report of 2019. As you saw on the figures that was sent to you, we have a small surplus of 600 euros in 2019. It means that in the end of 19, we had 44,000 euros in our bank account. And so there is no problem to the finance of the 12 plus. This present year, we didn't have the meeting in March, but we had several meetings during September and October. And we need to pay the Kudo platform, and the interpretation is more or less the same. We will see, but I believe that in the end we will have again a surplus during 2020. But this is presented by our staff to the next share of the 12 plus when we will give all the documentation that we have in our power. I ask the floor if someone wish to have any doubt on this issue. No one? So May I consider approved the financial report of 2019? Thank you so much. It is approved. We go to the point 9, and I will go give the floor to our colleague Rav Zva from Turkey. As I said, she proposed to postpone the meeting of this year to the next year because it was not possible to realize it with this pandemic situation. But I will give the floor to Hafsa if she wishes to explain a little bit about this issue. And I hope next year it will be possible to do it.
Thank you so much. So I have a reminder to those who already knew about it, and just some information for those new members. We had proposed to have I realized that at the end of headphones weren't connected. I apologize. But we had proposed that as a Turkish group to hold a working meeting in Turkey, in the cities of Istanbul and Gaziantep, where we would do a meeting titled Parliamentary Follow-up After the Global Compact for Migration. So we wanted to look at the different challenges that migrants and refugees all over the world have, but focusing on Europe and focusing on Turkey as well. So mostly intended for 12-plus countries, but later on one of our colleagues proposed that we should also include other groups, so we can hopefully, once this pandemic is over, we can hopefully extend the participation and plan the event in more detail. We were planning initially to do this event from 5th to 8th April, and last meeting in New York, right before all the borders closed, we had actually agreed on a number of speakers from the 12-plus group and us outside of 12-plus group. Experts, members of parliament, academics were going to be with us, so we would talk about the integration process of refugees and different country practices and protection of women, girls and children in zones of conflict, and promoting better knowledge of the situation of youth and children in war-torn areas and those who are forced to leave their countries to stay alive. Also, we would look into the report of the Council of Europe Parliamentary Assembly Committee on Migration, Refugees and Displaced Persons, the report which looks into the missing children, missing refugee and migrant children in Europe. So these were all our different titles, and we had planned a very good event, 3-day event in Turkey, and hopefully once this pandemic is over and we're all safe and sound, we realize in the meanwhile that we will never be safe and sound unless everybody all over the world is. So once this is over, hopefully we will host you in Turkey, in Istanbul, in Gaziantep, in any other cities of Turkey, and hopefully we will have a very good fruitful meeting. We're looking forward to hosting the 12-plus group and, like I said, other groups, members of other groups at the IPU as well.
Thank you. As you know, it was approved, this meeting was approved in our last meeting in Belgrade, but it was not possible because of the pandemic situation to realize it during the present year. So it's just to accept that it should be in our program to the next year. As well, this is something very important because it will not be just, this is a matter that affects all of us, but also that will not just be a seminar inside a room with experts, but with a field visit. And so the combination of the both realities should be very interesting to all of us. And also the steering committee, and Ravza spoke about it, that maybe other colleagues will be invited to attend from the Arab countries and from Africa, from Middle East, because the problem of refugees is not just a problem of the 12 plus, is also a problem from all the Mediterranean, and so it will be important them to invite them to participate in this meeting. Our colleague from Cyprus, Neil Fitton, you ask the floor. You have the floor. Hi.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Dear President, we have no objection for the meeting to be held in Istanbul, provided that Turkey will allow the delegation of the House of Representatives of Cyprus to attend the meeting. We all know that, unfortunately, Turkey does not recognize the Cyprus Republic, a full member of the European Union and a member of the United Nations. In addition, we should safeguard that Turkey will not attempt to create problems by inviting officially delegates from the internationally non-recognized occupied territories of Cyprus. Once this all that I have mentioned are safeguarded, we have no objection and we will be delighted and will participate in the meeting in Istanbul.
Thank you. Of course, the participation of with the next chairperson to sign the invitation with our colleague from the Turkish delegation, and I believe that just official delegations will be invited to participate in this meeting. Okay, no one wishes to take the floor. So we hope that the pandemic situation will be solved as soon as possible to realize this meeting. And go to the point 10, that is the same problem. We approved to organize this meeting in Paris about SDGs, but but it was not possible to realize it because of the pandemic. I will ask if our colleagues from the French delegation wish. No one from the French delegation. Mas pediu a palavra? Não, então isso é que me interessa. No one from the French delegation asked the floor. So, dear colleagues, if no one make an objection, I propose to keep Paris like the place to organize the next seminar about SDGs to the countries of the 12 plus. We hope to organize it during the first semester of the next year if we have the pandemic situation solved. No one wishes to take the floor? We consider it approved. Now, go to the point 11. Next 12 plus group meeting. Of course, next 12 plus group meeting, we don't know when and where will happen. It's easy to approve something like this because When we have the information about the new meetings, we know that the assembly, the next assembly, that will happen in Geneva, May or June of 2021. And I understand that they decide, the Governing Council, decide to propose Geneva inside of Marrakesh, because instead of Marrakesh, thank you, because the pandemic situation will not be solved very soon. And so that's why also, usually it will happen in March, and now they are proposing May or June. Maybe it will be solved on that time. And so, as usual, the next meeting of the 12 plus will happen 1 or 2 weeks before the final date of the assembly. But extra meetings may happen in this model if necessary, and I know that the next chairperson should be with the steering committee approval, will have the capacity to organize if it's necessary to approve something important before that. So we don't have a special date. We hope that if there is no problem, the next meeting will happen in Geneva 1 or 2 weeks before the assembly, but no one knows right now. Someone wish to take the floor? No. We go to the point 12. Our colleague Lopataka, I will give the floor to from Austria Parliament. I will give the floor to him because we need to give names to the preparatory committee of the 5th World Conference of Speakers of Parliament. You know what happened. This conference should add a meeting last August in Vienna, but as everything in this 2020 was postponed to the next year, it was not possible to realize the conference of speakers of parliament. Our colleagues invest a lot to organize it, but it was not possible, and the governing council decides to postpone to the next summer. The 12 plus have 5 members in the preparatory committee of the 5th World Conference, but 4 are not available to go on. Some because they had the elections in their countries and they were not re-elected, other because they resigned the position, and so on. And if it is a, first of all, it is an important meeting. Second, it is a meeting that will happen in a country of the 12 plus. And so we should work together in full of our energy in the organization of this event. And that's why he asked us to propose other names to this preparatory committee. I will ask if Mr. Lapataka wish to take the floor. No? So I explain everything. And so we have 4 vacancies, at least 2 of which should be filled by a female speaker and one by a male speaker. Someone is available to this committee? Understand that sometimes it is not easy to our delegations to present the name of the speaker of their own parliament without asking to the speaker if he's available to this position. If you agree, we can go on with the same procedure we did it before. So, you will have time to make consultations to your speakers, and the four first delegations to send a name will be accepted as members for this preparatory committee of the Fifth World Conference of Speakers of Parliament. And so we will send the information to all of you in the end of this meeting, and the four first answers should be accepted to be part of this preparatory committee. May we go on this way? And you will have time to make consultations to your speakers. Thank you so much. I see the information that until now 65 have voted already, maybe more. 71. So if we voted, all them voted, we may finish before time. But if not, we need to wait to the end of the time. Any other business? Ah. No one. Okay. So we go to the point C about the next governing council. And the first point is point 14. Special rules of procedure to regulate the conduct of virtual sessions of the Governing Council, and point 15. We will give the floor to our colleagues from the ExCom. Our colleague from Switzerland, she was part of the preparatory committee that organized this procedure. If she's available, I will give the floor. You need to take the floor. Lawrence, it's a pleasure to have your presence in our meeting. You explained this to the steering committee, but it is important as well to present to the old colleagues of the 12 plus. Thank you so much for attending our meeting.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Chers et chers collègues, je ne m'attendais pas à devoir faire un rapport aujourd'hui, mais je peux dire en quelques mots les discussions que nous avons eues tout d'abord dans le groupe de travail, puis ensuite les propositions qui ont été faites ont été acceptées par le comité exécutif pour le bon déroulement de la séance du conseil directeur en ligne. Donc, nous avons dû d'abord discuter d'un règlement spécial de manière à ce que celui-ci permette des discussions qui soient, selon les principes de l'UIP, transparentes, qui soient inclusives, qui permettent donc à tous les membres des parlements, des délégations, de pouvoir participer et prendre connaissance à la fois des rapports, mais aussi surtout organiser l'élection de la nouvelle présidente. Donc, nous sommes penchés sur le règlement spécial. Je pense que je ne vais pas vous le détailler parce que vous avez reçu tous et toutes les propositions qui ont été faites. Je crois qu'à part le Pakistan, il n'y a pas eu d'objection sur ces propositions qui ont donc été acceptées. Je pense que ça va se faire dans ces conditions. Je pense qu'il faut aussi peut-être rappeler que nous sommes penchés longuement sur la question de l'élection, du mode de scrutin pour l'élection de la nouvelle présidente. Et ça a été fait aussi, bien évidemment, en étroite collaboration avec le secrétariat général. En particulier, merci à Monsieur Martin Tiongong de nous avoir accompagnés dans ces travaux. Nous avons aussi eu un conseiller légal qui nous a permis, un conseiller juridique qui a permis aussi de nous permettre de valider les propositions qui étaient faites. Et je crois que les propositions pour le vote en ligne présentent toutes les meilleures conditions possibles pour que cette élection se fasse correctement. Et peut-être pour rappeler les objections du Pakistan qui disaient qu'en effet un vote en ligne n'était pas sûr. Je pense que les exemples dans différents pays, quand il y a des élections, on s'aperçoit que les votes en présentiel présente aussi des risques. Dans beaucoup de pays, il y a des fraudes, des bourrages d'urnes, comme on dit en français. Et donc, par contre, dans d'autres cas, les votes en ligne se sont très bien passés, soit au sein des parlements, soit dans différentes organisations internationales. Donc, dans ce sens-là, il faut se dire que le risque zéro n'existe pas, mais que la plateforme également choisie par le secrétariat général est tout à fait crédible et a une grande expérience dans l'organisation de ce genre de scrutin. Donc, je pense que les conditions sont bonnes pour que nous puissions à la fois avoir des discussions et puis un vote en ligne qui soit correct. Peut-être aussi rappeler le fait que le comité exécutif a recommandé de resserrer l'agenda de manière à ce que peut-être juste encore un détail concernant le vote en ligne. Il sera donc possible de voter pendant 24 heures, donc ce qui permettra à toutes les délégations de tous les pays du monde de pouvoir voter dans de bonnes conditions. Et puis, concernant l'ordre du jour du conseil directeur, il a été effectivement limité aux questions les plus urgentes, c'est-à-dire effectivement l'élection de la présidence, des deux personnes du comité exécutif, ainsi que les rapports, surtout le rapport de la présidente, le rapport du secrétariat général, et aussi évidemment les discussions sur le rapport du comité des droits de l'homme. Donc, nous avons peut-être aussi éventuellement prévu une discussion autour du Mali, puisque la situation est assez difficile dans ce pays. Mais donc, l'idée, c'était de pouvoir faire un conseil directeur en ligne qui soit pas trop fastidieux, puisque de toute façon, évidemment qu'il est moins attrayant qu'en présentiel, mais qui permette quand même de discuter des choses principales et sans oublier évidemment l'approbation des comptes et du budget 2021. Voilà, c'est ce que je peux vous dire en l'état. Je vous remercie.
Merci beaucoup, chers collègues. Je ne sais pas s'il y a des questions. Il n'y a pas de questions. Thank you so much. It was very important that your committee and the Secretary General find a solution that was accepted by everyone, because transparency is essential in this process of the election. And so you did an amazing job. Thank you so much for your work and for your conclusions, because without that, we may have huge discussions about procedures, and this is not what we need. We need to focus in politics. And so thank you so much. We may go to the point 16, financial matters. We will give the floor to our colleague from Sweden, Cecilia. She is the chairperson of the Subcommittee on Finance. Thank you so much for your collaboration, not just as a chair of this subcommittee, but also because you were essential during the last meetings of the 12 plus to share the meetings, your cooperation was essential. Thank you so much. Cecilia, you have the floor. You need to ask the floor, and then our staff. I know that Cecilia is attending the meeting, and she has a small presentation to share with us. She's not now. Maybe some technical problems. If Cecilia is not available. No? Okay, we came back, if you don't mind. There is 10 minutes to the end of the election. We have 82 people available to vote. Until now, voted 72 MPs. So, is a good rate of participation, but there is still 10 of our colleagues that didn't vote. You have more 10 minutes to try to vote. And I will try to know the countries, and if you give me the list of the countries, I will say to you, because maybe it's easier to everyone knows. Australia, France, Lithuania. Three. Malta. New Zealand. Slovakia. Please, dear colleagues, if it's possible, maybe your secretariat and Liechtenstein, maybe the secretariat of these countries, of this, or the staff of these countries, may try to see what happened with their MPs. Cecilia. Ah, Cecilia is there. So, Cecilia, welcome. I just said, thank you so much for your collaboration during the last meetings of the 12 plus. Thank you also for your work in as a chair of the Subcommittee on Finance. You have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Duarte, for those words. Hello, everyone. I would like to walk you through those three main issues that we have on financial matters on the Governing Council. And financial matters is on Monday, the 2nd of November. Those three are the financial results for 2019. And that is because the assembly was canceled. The second of all is that the IPU needs a new external auditor, and that will be elected and proposed from the Finance Committee on Thursday, and we walked through the Executive Committee on Friday. And the third one is, of course, the budget for the upcoming year. And I would like to try now to share pictures with you that I have prepared for this to make sure that you can follow me. So, can you see this now, Duarte? Hopefully.
Yes.
Do you see this?
Yes, yeah, we
very
are
good.
Seeing the...
Okay. Lovely.
Thank you so
Lovely.
Much.
Lovely, because I just only see the pictures. That's why I want to make sure of that. So what happened was after a longer start, the Subcommittee on Finance decided to elect a chair in June this year, and I was the group candidate for that, and I was elected. And I would like to start with to thank Switzerland that have done this job for a few years back, and they have done it tremendously well. So taking it over has been easy. So thank you, Switzerland, for all your help and for what you have done with the finances of the IPU. We have worked since June, the finance committee, and we've been advising the secretariat and the secretary general on all what you can see now within the budget of 2021. I would like to say that all regions have been very active within the finance committee. 5 out of 6 members, which is 5 out of 6 regions, have been involved in nearly all the meetings, and there has been a few meetings since this summer. We will have a finance committee on Thursday and executive committee on Friday. So you have seen the proposals for the governing council, and I would just like to walk you through this then. Just to start with the first one, on the financial results of 2019, the auditor and the IPU as a whole can say the financial health of the IPU is very nice, and there are no whatsoever criticisms or any objections from the auditors. More the other way, that the finances look very nice. There has also been new and welcomed voluntary funding from 2019 and forward. During 2019, there also became a new member and one new associate member. And we lost 3 members because of not paying the fees. And that was Honduras, Mauritania, and Papua New Guinea. That's just history, as you know, but just to mention that, because you will see that on the agenda on Monday. The second item is that the IPU needs a new external auditor, and that is because the Swiss Federal Office that have had this assignment for a few years cannot withhold it any longer, and that is because of financial rules. So the Secretariat has been looking through what are the possibilities, and going out on the private market would be very expensive, and they have actually asked around for that. But there are also official country auditors that are working in Geneva. And example is that they were working for the WHO, and that is India. So the proposal for the executive committee on Friday from the finance committee and for the governing council is that India will take over this assignment now. They have also agreed on exactly the same fee as the IPU paid to the Swiss auditor, and they are also cutting down expenditure such as travel and other things, because the WHO will have those auditors in Geneva anyways, and we will use them on the same travels coming in from India to Geneva. So that is our proposal. And for the third thing, which is the most important now, is, of course, the budget for next year. And after discussions in the finance committee, we agreed on the message for next year is that this budget should send a clear signal to encourage more member parliaments to step up their engagement for multilateralism, democracy, and human rights in an efficient and modern and flexible manner. The IPU should be a strong international organization for parliamentarism and built on active and strong member parliaments. And this budget is a tool to realize and make these official sayings and ambitions to be both promoted, but also be a realistic and to put being put forward. We think it's very important that we have a robust diplomacy from parliamentarians in responses to the crisis that we see now in the world. Looking back, the budget of the IPU were growing until the year 2011. Then in 2012, some cuts started, and after by reducing about 2 million Swiss franc we were back to a level of the 1990s. But by stabilizing and growing with more members from 150 to 179, we came up to a more appropriate level in gain in the funding. But next year's funding and amount will be as the contributions were in 2007. So there is still some steps to go. But our proposal for the Governing Council is that there will be no increases in membership's contribution during next year. We will have about the same voluntary funding as we did during this year. But there are also, I would like to say, some new grants coming in, and that they will be presented to the Finance Committee on Thursday and Executive Committee on Friday. It's important with this budget to be as flexible as possible and working with new modalities to make sure that we do understand that the COVID-19 will continue to affect our work. So we need to find new ways of doing what we would like to do, but in other ways, which need more using of modern technology and communication. So therefore we have, for example, raised the budget for communication in the budget. The savings that have been done this year goes into the working capital and will be used in coming meetings implementing the strategy for next year. And as you know, 1/4 of the budget is voluntary funding. So that's why we have took, have made it possible to show you all, and for those who would like it, I would like to send it out afterwards, a paper on example, best example and best practice on mobilizing voluntary funding for the IPU. For those of us from this part of IPU, from the 12 plus group that believes in multilateralism, that believes in this part of parliamentary diplomacy and so forth, of course, this is also a possibility to go back to our parliaments, to our government, and make sure that they know about the IPU and what we can offer if we even get more funding through this. So this is a paper that anybody could use for having discussion back home in the national parliaments or with your governments. I get a few questions on savings, so that's why I have prepared a few slides on the savings that have been done during this year. This year has been a year of postponements, of course. We are hoping as soon as possible, of course, to get the physical meetings going again, but even digital meetings to improve and be, of course, more and wider than they have been during this year. And this, of course, will allow us to use the voluntary funding for this. For the coming years, we need more of multilateralism, and of course, we need then a budget that can offer that. Most of the savings done this year is postponements of the events, which is objective 5 in the IPU strategy. And for the assembly, spring, the savings is about 550,000 Swiss franc. And for the postponement of Assembly 2, the savings were about 420,000 Swiss franc. Travel, of course, has also been saved during this year, and it's about 370,000 Swiss franc. The Executive Committee decided in year 2006 to aim at 50% of the IPU's approved annual operation budget as a target level for the Working Capital Fund. This has never, never been achieved. The goal that the Executive Committee put up in year 2006 have never been achieved. Not even this year it will be achieved. The surplus a year like this would need 2 million Swiss franc as the required level for that target. And the savings this year, as you see, what's estimated right now is about 1.5 million Swiss franc. And that is then estimation, because we are still need to figure out how much the technical and in interpretation during the Governing Council would cost us next week. And my last slide to show you the budget for next year is that this is also the final year for the IPU's current strategy, which needs some acceleration for its implementation. It's also a new start for a new presidency, which will also, of course, be allowed to be shown in the budget. And for the most important thing, for the coming years, we need to start working on the new strategy for the whole IPU that will last from 2022 and a few years beyond. And of course, that we need to be shown also in the budget. The IPU core values to support commitments for environmental issues, gender mainstreaming, and human rights approach are, of course, in the focus of this budget and this budget framework. And that was the budget for this year. You will have the whole budget in your files for the Governing Council. And I'll stop there if there are any questions or anything that I can add from that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Our colleague Robert de Picchia, Robert was the internal auditor of 2019, and so it was not possible for him to present the report during the assembly of March because it didn't happen. It will be presented soon. So I will give you the floor to Robert. Robert, I hope to find you now in good health, and we regret what happened with your wife. We need to go on. I think that life goes on. Robert, you need to ask the floor, please. Robert, you have the floor. Thank you so much.
For my family and for my situation. So, I must say the report, what we heard, is a perfect report. And it was very good. When the problem.
No, it's okay. Technical, it's okay, problem. Robert. C'est bon. C'est bon. Merci beaucoup.
C'est bon. Bon. This report was okay. Perfect, I will say. And I'm very happy to see that the person who are working after me for this job is so good. And I want to congratulations. Thank you for it. And if I say same word, my dear colleague, since years and years, I'm the last moment here and I have to vote. And I had a problem because my code was not working. So can you do something that I can vote? But you can control. My vote was not true. So now I have to vote.
Robert?
Yes.
Vote. It's necessary to register. Your user's name, it is your email. In small letters, please, in small letters. And
yes.
After it, you will put your code that you received by email or by SMS. Until now, 75 colleagues had already voted. I hope that it will be possible to you do the same. So, Andres, you ask the floor. Andres is the internal auditor to the current year. No? Please, you have the floor.
Thank you. Indeed, I'm the internal auditor for this year, 2020, so I have to make my report in March, April next year. Thanks, Cecilia, for your good PowerPoint. Just a question: what is the opinion of the group? Because we have about 1.5 million Swiss francs, and this is about 8% of the total budget, which is now a cost that they saved. So I can imagine that countries will ask, and maybe not from our group, but maybe from other groups, to change the membership fee, for example, with minus 8%, so that they have for next year also less cost in this membership fee. Is that our opinion, or is our opinion that we put it all in the reserve fund to have, like Cecilia explained very well, to have a certain amount in this fund, which is important, of course, when you have sometimes an issue which will capitalize your cash. But I think that we have to be sure that we are all on the same mainstream, that we think about the same, so that there are no discussion and arguing afterwards. Are we saying, no, we are bringing down the membership fee, or we put it in the reserve fund? And mostly, what are the arguments if we put it in the reserve fund? But because I can imagine that in other groups, countries would say, yes, but you know, there was no working, there was very difficult to have contact. At the end, we have some webinars, etc., etc. But for example, March, there was nothing, etc., etc. So what is the added value for us? And so I can imagine that countries would say, what is the added value? What is done with this money? And maybe we prefer to pay less for the next coming months. I don't say that's the opinion of Belgium, of course, because we agree that we can say, okay, we stabilize the membership fee and we put it in the reserve fund. But I can imagine that countries and other groups can have some questions about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Our colleague Hubert Laferrière from France asks the floor as well. You will have the floor.
Hello.
I hope to find you better and in good health.
Yeah, I'm in perfect health, you know.
You need to put on your video.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
I think there is a little echo, no?
Yes, you are there.
Okay, all right. Yes, thanks. I'm in good health, actually. I was in, I was quite asymptomatic COVID plus person, even if I was quite tired for a week. Sorry, I couldn't attend the meeting earlier because I had an important working lunch. It seems that France has problem to vote. That was my first point, because I didn't receive any email nor SMS. So I have problems to vote. So I have the link, but I don't have the password. So I don't know how to connect, and I don't know if Robert finally achieved. But I have problems myself to put my vote.
We will try to send it. Yes, now you are receiving it again in your email. Okay. Please, or in 1 minute.
Okay, I'll check. So far, I don't have anything, but I'll check.
We wait, because we wish the participation of all the members that are available to have a real participation in this election. Okay. So maybe in 1 minute, they resend it again.
Okay, I'm checking my email. So far, I have nothing, but...
Or maybe to your mobile as well.
Or I don't know if Robert finally achieved the vote.
You can see if he is in Spain.
Okay, while I'm waiting for the email, so far I have nothing. But while I'm waiting, I know that you... You mentioned the meeting that we were supposed to attend, to organize in Paris last spring. So I just wanted to say that, of course, we are still waiting to organize it and to host you all in Paris. I hope we will be able to organize it regarding this sanitary situation next spring, of course. As we mentioned in our executive committee in Lisbon a few weeks ago. So it would be, of course, I think in June 2021, right? So I think that you mentioned this issue while I was away. So I just wanted to confirm that we are willing to organize this meeting.
Thank you.
I'm still confirming that I haven't received anything.
Okay. Our staff will try to contact you and to send it by all the ways that it's possible. Same with our Robert De Picchia. And just after it, we will close the election. David McKinty, you ask the floor. And then, to close this point, Cecilia will answer the questions.
Well, good morning, everyone from Canada. And it's good to see you all. Thank you very much, Duarte, for convening this meeting again. And thank you very much to Cecilia. And Laurence for, and Mladen, the four of us together on the executive committee have been working very hard. And I just wanted to remind all the members, Duarte, that I sent out a 5-page report several weeks ago to all member chapters of the 12 Plus, which summarizes all of the work that has taken place at the executive committee for June, July, and August. I'm very encouraged, and I wanted to share this as your vice president on the executive committee. I just wanted to share with you the great distance we've come as an organization, willing and able to work using digital platforms. And so in the summary that I shared, Duarte, there are a number of themes and a number of issues that I think bring all of our member chapters up to speed on the progress that we're making. And I wanted to simply let you know that I'm always available if anyone has any questions or any follow-up to that report. I know there's another meeting, of course, this Friday for the executive committee. So if there are issues that anyone wants to have raised, please feel free to reach out to any of the four of us on the executive committee. I did want to raise one perhaps sensitive issue with Cecilia, and that is the question of what she has to share, or is she in a position to share anything around additional support for, in this case, our presidency. There have been instances, we believe, where our president has been receiving financial support or perhaps even air travel or hotel, which is outside the funding of the IPU. And I'm wondering if Cecilia can give us some indication of whether that's of sensitivity to her, of concern to her, and how she might propose we deal with this in the future. I wanted to raise it very explicitly with members here, the 12 Plus, because I think it's an important issue for us to keep in mind as we proceed in this new generation of communication and new generation of cooperation digitally on these new platforms, which, as I say again, is very encouraging. So that's one specific question, but also to let people know that, of course, we're going to continue working on making sure that the meetings coming up in November are successful, obviously making sure that the voting system has electoral integrity, so that we can count on it and we can showcase that even the IPU, of course, in these difficult times is able to navigate through the challenges of the pandemic and keep our organization moving forward. And finally, I just wanted to congratulate all three of the candidates who sought the presidency of the 12 Plus. We have one candidate who pulled out, and I respect that enormously, and I wish the best to both of our two other candidates who are running today. Thank you very much, Duarte.
Thank you, David. Your report was very important and showed to all of us the work of the executive committee during this time with virtual meetings because it was not possible to have the presidential meetings. And if you wish to make some more another comment on the point 17, for instance, please feel free. Now, before I give the floor to Cecilia to answer all the questions, I will give the floor to Ravza, our colleague from Turkey. I hope to be about financial matters, and then Cecilia will, in the end, answer all of them.
Thank you. I have a question. Has there been another case before this where there was a surplus in the account, or is this because of COVID? Because we are talking about the questions whether we should reduce the fee or put the surplus amount in the reserve fund. So I was just wondering if this is the first time it's happening. What has been the practice during previous times? Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a very concrete question. And so I will give the floor now to Cecilia. Thank you so much for your work. And you have the floor to answer all the questions of our colleagues.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Duarte. And thank you, of course, for all the interest showing to the financial matters. This is, of course, a very important tool to make sure that this organization is continuing to fly and being important in many ways. So start to Mr. Andres from Belgium. I could already see as a chair, a new elected chair this summer, that this would be, of course, an issue in the end of the year. And that's why we started discussions very early about what we can save going to the working capital fund or being used or being, as you will suggest, going back to the members in any types of principle. And that's why I was very clear, and I have shown this report before to the steering committee, is that the subcommittee on finance was very clear early in the budget work that we need a clear signal for next year, that this is an organization that will continue to work very hard for multilateralism, even more maybe than before, and for that you need the resources. And the same was the case in the executive committee, when the executive committee decided on not doing anything with the membership fees for the next coming years. Therefore, we find a clear majority in the executive committee, and the finance committee was totally unanimous in being sure that we will have these resources, which is all membership resources, but that will be used in the working capital fund for greater use during the coming years because we need more of this organization. And because of next year is a new start for a new president. It's a new start to working with the new strategy for the IPU, which will continue on for several years. And for that, you need these resources. And for Ms. Ravsa's question, Turkey, there have been surpluses, yes, before. And I show you a picture before of the history. But I also show you that the limit that the executive committee in year 2006 put up, that limit never have been, the IPU have never reached that limit, and we will not even for this year reach the limit or the target that the executive committee put up, some kind of financial rules for the organization. So it's all within the framework, and I really hope that the unanimous of a finance committee with all regions, I really asked all the regions in the finance committee to go back to their regional groups and have a discussion before the governing council, of course, next week, to make sure that we have as large majority as possible for this budget, because of that we are a group that believe in multilateralism, then we believe in parliamentary diplomacy, and for that we of course need the resources. What we also know is that technology is not inexpensive. not at least we pay as much as we do on regular meetings on, for example, interpretation, and to have everybody's inclusiveness and as have as many languages as possible. And that also costs money. So yes, we do save some on travel and so forth, but it could be used to have even more modern work and so forth, and even maybe more inclusiveness in digital meeting forms in the years to come. As we know, the COVID will not finish on a date. It will continue. So we will have this kind of tech global technology education virtually. We may have some hybrid meetings in the future. But of course, for that, we will need the resources. And these will be my arguments, of course, for the Governing Council for the future. And last of all, Mr. David from Canada asks questions about what the presidency have been doing with the resources that have come from outside of the IPU budget and finances. And for that, I have no clear picture or view. I just have heard a lot of rumors. But as I'm going to vote for a candidate that is, I hope, very transparent in this way of looking at it. And hopefully we all agree on that we need both MPs and organizations that are transparent on matters like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cecilia. Not just for your work, but your explanations. As you tell in a clear way to all of us, we may think that without presidential meetings, we will not have expenses. Yes, we will have expenses, because we need to pay these platforms, for instance, Kudos and so on. The interpretation, the cost will be very similar. And the travels of parliamentarians usually are paid by their own parliament, not by IPU. So what we save in this process is not so much as we may think in the beginning of the process. But it is very important to all of our colleagues to have all the information about this issue. We are still trying to solve the problems of France. There is just them. They are waiting to vote, and after it we will close the election. Point 17, IPU President's Report. I will ask if a colleague from the Executive Committee, David, Cecilia, Mavdla, Lawrence, if you wish to talk about it. No one asks the floor. So David. So the report will be presented by Gabriela Cuevas as a former president of the organization during the next governing council. David, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Patti. I think there's really good news, that is that we have a very good report from our former president. I think she will do a great job, as always, of presenting it. It would be less than accurate to say that the journey to get to that report wasn't a bit difficult. There were, as I mentioned on a previous call to many of you, there were some difficult moments on the executive committee when the first draft of the report was presented. Many of you, I think, have seen that copy, and it took a concerted effort amongst the executive committee members to have it rewritten and to remove from that report comments which were difficult, which reflected a tension between our former president and the executive, the secretary general of the organization, which was very unfortunate, which we really hope is not going to resurface again, I think, going forward, all of us. But ultimately, the comments made by the former president led to a claim that members of the Secretariat in Geneva were in direct conflicts of interest on certain matters. And so that was very worrisome for all of us on the Executive Committee. So we unanimously agreed, and I think our president, our former president, graciously agreed to step down from some of these comments and to rewrite the report. So the good news is the report that is going to be made public is a positive report that reflects on the good work that she has accomplished in this last year and some of the challenges for the organization going forward. So I think overall, Duarte, for our colleagues, it was a positive experience, but a difficult one. Colleagues, you should know that your executive committee met for, I think, 5 or 6 separate meetings over June, July, and August, an average of 5 hours each. So a lot of time invested in making sure that we were moving forward in a very positive way. So we have a lot of good things to build on, Duarte, and I simply wanted to let people know that I think we're in great shape going forward and anticipating great cooperation with whomever becomes the next president. And just to, perhaps as a matter of factual record, Duarte, so for members who may not know this, each and every president of the IPU receives an annual stipend from the organization of 30,000 Swiss francs, and that is made available to the president and or their parliament, administered usually, I think, through their parliament. And it is a fund that is used to draw down for expenses for participation in IPU matters. I don't know to what extent, Cecilia, that is made transparent to you at the Finance Committee, but it might be something that we can take forward just to ensure that we have full transparency on the use of that fund and whether or not it's sufficient. It may be that it's not sufficient given today's costs, and although we'll see what happens with travel as we deal with this terrible COVID crisis. That may not have a bearing this year, but in years going forward, it just might. So those are my thoughts and my remarks, Duarte, and I hope they're helpful.
Thank you so much, David. And I know we had also preparatory meeting of this ExCom meetings. And so thank you so much for your cooperation, because I think it was important to show to the Executive Committee and to all our colleagues from different countries and from geopolitical groups that the 4 members of the 12 plus has a position that was worked before the meeting. So in many issues, we have the meeting before, myself as a chair and you, the 4 members of the executive committee, we join, we discuss, sometimes we agree, sometimes we do not agree in everything, of course, but we try to have a common position in all the issues. And it was very important to show to the other geopolitical groups that you are there, but you prepare the meetings, and that you are there representing the group. I think it was very important. Thank you so much for your work. I ask if someone wishes to take the floor on this issue. No. We go to the point 19, election to the Executive Committee. So, this is the Steering Committee decide to propose to all of you that our colleague Lawrence Riel should be the candidate to end the term of our former colleague Margaret, because she is not a member of the Parliament, as we did it in the past. This is a special rule allow us to do it to the Executive Committee. And so when a country has someone in the executive committee and that person is not still member of the parliament, the country from whom this person is coming from may replace, but needs to be re-elected, just not a 2 years term, but to finish the term of the previous member of the parliament. And so the steering committee accepts the suggestion of the Swiss delegation, and we are proposing her name to this. Everyone agree? No objections? Thank you so much. Report by the Committee of Human Rights of Parliamentarians. I think we don't have the presence of any of the member of the Committee of Human Rights of Parliamentarians. The president of this committee, she was not re-elected member of parliament, and she will not present the report. But we know that there is some colleagues that representing the 12 plus in this committee, and they are doing a wonderful job. The report will be presented. This is just this report will be presenting during the governing council. So we will not have reports of the other committees, just about this committee, showing the importance of the human rights of parliamentarians to the IPU. And we know that a lot of questions, a lot of problems still happen in our world with the human rights of parliamentarians. So no, someone wish to take the floor? No? 21, report on the virtual segment of the 5th World Conference of Speakers of Parliament. I ask if our colleague Loptaka is there, and if you wish, we talk a little bit. We need to ask the floor. No? Yes? Oh. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you here. So the first segment happened during the last August. It was just virtual. The meeting will happen next August in Vienna, if we control the pandemic before that, of course.
So, thank you very, much.
Turn on your video, please.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
We are hearing you, but we don't see you.
Okay. So I try to put on also the video.
Yes.
Yeah. Now you can see me and hear me.
Thank you so much.
You know, we started with the preparation of this speakers conference, and then we were stopped because of COVID. But our preparations are still ongoing, and we need the support of our group of 12 plus. So hopefully 4 presidents are ready for the PrepCom. We had already some meetings of OSCE in Vienna in person this year, and no one knows if it's possible next year to have a meeting in person, which should take place at the end of July. We spoke about supporting IPU, and here we also support IPU financially by our parliament. Because we want to have an excellent conference of the speakers. We are ready to do everything to have this meeting in person. Hopefully, COVID-19 will be on a stage that it is possible to stop with virtual meetings, because we had this first part in a virtual way. So we need the second part, a meeting in person. And we also want to invite not only the speakers of parliament, but also parliamentarians who are interested to take part in this world conference of speakers of parliament. That's the situation. From the Austrian side, we are ready to do everything to have this meeting in person. Thank you.
Thank you, dear colleague. And we are committed with the success of this meeting. That's why I propose as well, and the group accepts, that we will try to fill the places that are free to members of the 12 plus to the preparatory committee. We understand quite well that sometimes it's not possible on this moment to say, to give the name of my speaker, but we will give time to all delegations, ask their speakers if they are available to this special committee, and the first four names to arrive to the secretariat will be accepted, and we will send it to the IPU, because we wish to have the success of this conference. Point 22. Again, our colleague, please, you have the floor. No. So we will go to the point 22. Proposal of the French group to create a working group on science and technology. Hubert, you need to ask the floor, and you will have the floor to talk about this. Thank you so much.
Yes, hello. Tout à l'heure, j'ai oublié de parler en français. Il faut que je parle dans ma langue. Si ça va. Donc oui, bien sûr, vous le savez, cette proposition de création d'un groupe de travail sur la science avait été proposée il y a maintenant plus d'un an et validée il y a maintenant un an lors de notre réunion plénière de Belgrade. Et je crois qu'il est important, j'ai eu l'occasion de le dire dans notre réunion du comité exécutif, que même si notre réunion de la semaine prochaine va se tenir dans des conditions un peu particulières, je crois qu'il est important qu'on puisse mettre en place de manière opérationnelle ce groupe dont la création a été validée il y a maintenant une année. Je crois qu'il faut que notre organisation puisse montrer qu'on ne met pas plus d'un an entre la décision de créer un tel groupe de travail, je crois, sur un sujet qui est fondamental, le sujet sur la science, le sujet de l'homme augmenté, du transhumanisme. Ce sont évidemment des questions des questions à la fois d'éthique et de... Robert De Pica is calling me at the time I'm speaking to you. Sorry. Oui, donc des questions évidemment au croisement du progrès humain et en même temps des questions éthiques fondamentales qui se posent avec les progrès de la science. Donc je crois que c'est évidemment un sujet dont l'Organisation mondiale des parlements, dont notre organisation doit se saisir. Et comme sa création a été validée il y a maintenant un an, je crois qu'il est important qu'on puisse mettre en place de façon opérationnelle ce groupe de travail. Je vous remercie.
Merci beaucoup. Yes, we know that we have, may I say, the way we decide in IPU sometimes is not so quickly as we wish and as we need in these times of the 21st century, because we decided that you proposed it for a long time ago, and after 1 year, nothing happened. But our colleagues of the executive committee will ask for it, and we will try very soon to have some news, good news about this issue, because it was decided, as you said, in Belgrade. Dear colleagues, before we go to the point, last point, 23, we will close the pool. Just we'll did everything to help our colleague Robert to vote. We contacted the others as well, but the others didn't answer. So we just have one person that, pode fechar. You may close the pool now. Just one colleague tried, but it was not possible. We hope not to have a difference of one vote between candidates, because if there is one vote, there is a problem. But the others, we contact every country, all secretariats, and now we have 77 persons voted, and we have 82. So we have 82 electors. So we have a participation of 94%. And it is not usually. For this, here in Portugal, we had elections yesterday in Azores, and just 55 or 56% of the electors voted. We wish to have a 94% of participation. This shows how important people feel that the decision will count. And so, very soon, the results will be presented to all of you. Just 2 seconds to have the results, and the slides with results will be on the screen, as they did it last week. And they will show it to all the group on the same time. Just a few seconds, please. Já enviou? So you may put the screen. In the meanwhile, our colleague from Turkey, Hafsa, não ponham já, então.
I know this is an exciting moment, but I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you in person for the wonderful job you did. I know it was difficult at times, and I may be one of the people who made it extra difficult for you. Because I mean, that's how politics is, and that's how parliamentary work is. I wanted to thank you and to the secretariat of the 12 Plus group from Portugal for doing a good job. I wish great success to both our candidates from the 12 Plus group in the presidency run as well. I just want to take this opportunity to thank you, and I hope that we will be working together for making sure IPU is more effective and 12 Plus is more effective in the future as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear colleague. We have the results. You may have to... Dá ao contrário. Ah, eu não consigo perceber. Eu não consigo ver da minha lista. Não é que agora até me assustei. Ok. dear colleagues, so 44 in, for, just to see, just to have the count, we have 44 more, 29, 73, so 50% is 37. So, our colleague Arda Gerkens of Netherlands has won, not just because she has more votes, but because she has more than 50% of the votes. She is elected the chairperson of the 12 plus. Congratulations, Arda. Congratulations also to our colleague Olga, because you are both amazing candidates, and I wish you all the luck in your new functions, Arda, here in the 12th plus. Before I will give the floor to Arda, of course. Yes, you can take the. Thank you so much. Before I will give the floor to Arda, I will say. No, I will say after it, because I think we will go to the end of our meeting. I don't have another issue in our agenda, and so, Arda, congratulations. You are the chairperson of the 12 plus. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Duarte, for your congratulations. And I'd like to express my thanks to Olga for running. It was a fair battle that we had, and it was very nice to have Greece being one of the candidates. And I'm looking forward to work with you together, Olga. I'm pretty sure that we will in the future. I'd also like to express my thanks to Belgium, who retreated and gave their support to us. Thank you very much. And as well, of course, to Germany and the United Kingdom, who both supported our candidacy. The next meeting is coming up. We have to work very hard. I'm looking forward to work with Portugal to get all the information that we need to have to be ready on the 1st of November. So it's going to be a busy week. Until then, thank you for your support and your trust in me as a president and in us as a Dutch delegation. And we'll do anything that we can to keep up to that promise the next coming 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Le President, the other candidate, Olga, you have the floor.
So I would like to thank the colleagues who voted for me. I would like to congratulate Arda. And I would like to have this opportunity just to reiterate what I said before, that I'm committed to working together with all my colleagues within the group to serve our common values and the interests of all member states. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Olga. You know, we need the work of everyone, and especially who are available to work to work as president will be called to help the group to share our values and to win when we need in special moments when we need to win ideas, amendments of statutes, emergency items, and so on during the assembly. I know that Arda will have the support and the help of the other candidates, because we need to be united when we are during an assembly, when we are in a special assembly. Andrei, ask the floor as well.
Yes, thank you. Yes, first of all, I want to congratulate Arda for this voting, and I hope and I'm sure that she will do the job very well. But at the meantime, I also want to thank you, Duarte, and thanks also Susanna for all the work done behind the screens. Thank you, Duarte, that even these difficult COVID times, you bring the whole group together. If we are now with so many people in this group voting for important issues and discussing important issues, is that thanks to you, thanks to your to your specific Portuguese character, yeah, always fighting forwards. So, and in the meantime, I hope that you can also get the race to the international president of the IPU chair. This would also be very successful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear colleagues. Any others? I ask if someone wishes to take the floor. If not, before the end of the meeting, I just wish to say something, of course. So this is our this is a long way from the first day in Geneva when I was elected as the chair of the 12th place. This is my last meeting. And I need to thank and to say a word of thanks to the President Ferro Rodrigues, the Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament, because he supports me during all this process since the first moment when I decided to make the candidature to the President of the 12th Plus, also to support when we organize the meetings here in Lisbon or in Azores or in Madeira. Is always available to help the work of the 12th Plus. Of course, the staff of the Portuguese Parliament, without them, my work will not appear, will not happen. So the staff of the Portuguese Parliament were essential during all this process. Thank you so much, Rita, Susana, Dalila, Rosarinho, Ana Margarida also, because you were amazing. The Portuguese delegation, of course, my colleagues from the Portuguese Parliament, the interpreters, and I said to someone last week, I have participating in the 12 plus meetings during, I think, last 15 years. And so I don't know if I wish to win and to be president of IPU. Because if I wish, I will not attend your next meeting. And I know that sometimes the questions are discussed more intensively inside our meetings than in committee or during the plenary of the assembly. Because here people discuss all the issues. People discuss and they present a point of view, different point of views about migration, about terrorism, about LGBT issues, about gender, about everything. And it was amazing times. And so, if I lost, I will remain as a member of the 12 Plus, and I will be present in your next meeting. If I win, just as I invited, if you decide to invite me to a small moment. And we will see what happens next November. But I am already missing all of you. Thank you so much. And if no one wishes to take the floor, we will close our meeting. Thank you. Thank you so much.